Life Audio.
Faith Over Fear is brought to you by Life Audio and is part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
I'm Jennifer Slattery, and although I am painfully tone deaf to the point that people have actually turned around in church in an attempt to locate the cause of the terrible sound, despite that, God often speaks to me through music. And it is through praise and through listening to Christ-focused songs that I most sense His presence. Well, on one particular day, I was really hurting, and the song Brighter Day by Blessing Offer came on, and it felt like it was a promise from God to me. And this motivated me to reach out to Blessing and to invite him to join me for a podcast episode on holding tight to Christ during difficult and painful seasons.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Well, Blessing, thank you so much for taking time to meet with us today.
Sir, you are so welcome. Thank you for reaching out.
So, Blessing, he was born blind in his left eye due to congenital glaucoma, and he was a standout musician with the voice. He emigrated to the U.S. from Nigeria at the age of 6. And his parents made a really difficult decision to split up their family so that they could send Blessing to America to get to receive proper treatment. Well, while he was in America, he actually lost sight in his other eye. But music has played such an important part in his life, and he's going to share that with us as well, and Eve through Christ. So you came to America at a young age. I'd love if you could just give a little more of the story surrounding that.
So I landed in JFK, and it was winter time. And, you know, when you are anywhere but America, you always hear about America. So this is like the great adventure, as it were. And I remember it was wintertime and it was snowing. And my first experience of America was falling in the snow. I looked at my uncle. I was like, can we go home? Can we just go back? Because this is way, nobody told us about the cold. And my uncle was like, that's not how this works. Like, it took a lot to get here, so we're not going here. But yeah, as you said, my parents, the amazing thing, the loving thing, ironically enough, of letting me come here to seek treatment for the glaucoma. So I don't have kids, I'm not married or anything, but like the sacrifice boggles my mind more and more the older I get.
So what was that challenging growing up? I've listened to a couple of your interviews, which I would recommend our listeners go find some of his interviews. They're really, really good. But I know you were close with your uncle, and I know there was a lot of, you know, excitement involved in that. But I also know, you know, having been a child myself, I'm sure there were times that was hard, right? Where you're like, I just want my mom, or I just want my dad.
Yeah, my dad and me are very close, and so after a few weeks and the excitement wore off, I was like, wait, where's my dad? And my uncle's like, well, he's still in Nigeria. I'm like, okay, well, let's go get him.
Mm.
Being a kid, just, all right, well, let's fix that problem.
Right.
The realization that it wasn't that easy was a lot as a kid to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was this natural adjusting that for a while it was an adventure. Like, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everything was new. Right? It was amazing. And then all of a sudden your heart goes, wait, but where are my favorite people in the world?
Mm.
And what's what is here if my favorite people aren't here?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there was definitely that little bit of adjusting to the realization that, like,
yeah,
my dad, my mom, my siblings, they weren't going to be here anytime soon.
Yeah. And I'm sure as a kid, you don't even probably know what you're feeling. So you probably, I'm assuming you didn't really talk that out much.
Yeah. It's like you get older and you kind of look back and you go, wow, that was so confusing.
Mm-hmm. But,
you know, the emotions aren't as nuanced, so your ability to touch off emotions aren't as nuanced. So you're like, I feel sad. Oh, here's some candy. Okay, great.
Yeah.
You kind of, kids can always bounce back.
Mm-hmm.
And the bounce back. So it's this, like, have you processed that?
Mm-hmm.
Being a kid and bouncing back.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, have you had to kind of as an adult process some of those childhood emotions that you didn't even know you were experiencing at the time?
1,000%. I do a lot of processing through music. I do a lot of processing through friends and therapy and all the fun stuff. So highly recommend it. Processing feelings. Very good.
Yeah, yeah. Well, tell us a little. So I briefly mentioned how you were blind in the one eye, and then you came to America to supposedly fix that. And what happened?
The good eye. And that lost the good eye.
Yeah. So how'd that happen?
So towards the end of elementary school, beginning of middle school, I got shot in the eye with a water gun, just a freak accident. And it detached the retina in the good eye.
Ouch.
So the good eye that was doing fine on its own, all of a sudden, bam. So that unforeseen. From just childhood, took the majority of the vision.
Were there times, so when did you come to faith in Christ?
From back home, my dad is the first Christian in our family.
Mm-hmm.
So there wasn't ever a time where I didn't know God in the sense where if it's what you grew up with, it's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I always think looking back, kind of, early adulthood, 18, 19, 20, when you ask all the questions, was when I raised it for myself. Because, you know, me and God, we meet intellectually. So, like, there was just a point where I was like, why do you believe all this stuff? And, you know, my uncle is an attorney. So I remember him going through law school and listening to all these law lectures while we were in the car, this time they were saying. And so I've always kind of interrogated my own beliefs and thoughts and ideas, which I think we all should.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, I read Taoism books, I read Buddhism books, I read the Quran, I read all of them. I mean, Nigeria is a majority Muslim country. So in thinking, what do I believe? I like sought out everything the world had to say about it all. And the beauty of doing that is that when you come back to Christianity, you'll see how, not just because your parents said so, but in all actuality, as far as my faith and my heart are concerned, there is no better solution to all of the brokenness of the world. So for me, it was, I needed to do all that exploring. Like, I was like, well, if God is, he said, he doesn't care if I read this book, you know what I mean? Because that's fine. Like, of course, I'm going to come back. If he is who he says, I was like, why is he afraid of my little questions? He's really, really not. Is what I found. And in fact, not reading, not being intellectually curious is kind of a form of insecurity.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes Christians think it's a bad thing to look into what else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if your heart's thinking, what else? You can do one of two things. You can say, oh, that's scary. I don't want to think what else, which is really just be afraid that God might not be everything he says he is.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could go, you know what? What else? And I learned that from C.S. Lewis, just like intellectual curiosity.
Now, did you read C.S. Lewis growing up or kind of during that time?
I'm a huge C.S. Lewis. I'm a reader in general. Like, so I C.S. Lewis is one of the things I always go back to amongst other things. So, yeah.
Yeah, he is very authentic, like kind of what you're talking about. Yeah. So I could totally see that. Well, when you were growing up or even now, did you wrestle with like anxiety and fear, especially? I mean, you're in a new country, or even now that you're, I mean, that must have. Does it feel like the music, like it just boom, all of a sudden you're on the global scene?
It's, you know, my friend Natalie always calls it. She's a writer in town. She's written a bunch of songs that she didn't really have much success till she was probably in her early 40s. So she had success about 10 years, 12 years ahead of me.
Mm.
So she said, you know, Blessing, they called me the 20-year overnight success. And I say to her, well, they seem to think I'm the, you know, I've been in Nashville for 6-7 years. They seem to think I'm the 7-year overnight.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And it's oftentimes the perception is of that. Like 1 minute, nothing, and the next minute, you're like, who's this buzzing offer? That'll happen so fast.
Mm-hmm.
When, you know, there's been a lot of patience and praying and working and toiling at, you know, desert times,
mm.
you know, where you're just, you're wrestling with God and going, okay, what are these 40 years up, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So like as you're pursuing this call on your life, you did you ever have times you're like, God, are you sure? Like, is this really, like, have you called me to this?
You know, it's funny. It'll have been like a couple hard, so as so to speak. 2018 was four.
Mm-hmm.
At 2011, 12, and were, you know, those years were tough. And so there's been times that I'm like, this feels bad, but it's never been, I don't know if I love music, because even at the hard times, I always wake up and go to the piano.
Mm-hmm.
It's never been a questioning of music. It's more been like, yeah, I know I love music. I know I'm going to play music, but like, should I be a lawyer? Joined by uncle and the family business, I'll just do that. And when the doubts would get the most, there would always be something that would come along and was like a thumbs up,
you know, like
an encouragement, you know, God going, keep going. And that's how it's always been till now. When obviously things are cooking on all 8 cylinders, but it's been those times when I would have those thoughts of, maybe I should just, something would happen that would be like, no, he's doing the right thing.
You know, I wonder, and I don't know, you might not have an answer for this, but I can't help but wonder, because I know a lot of people God can speak to them and give them confirmation, but then they can later kind of justify themselves out of it or make excuses, like, find a reason to discount that. And do you think perhaps that your time of doubting and really intensely searching kind of tuned your ears to his response and his encouragement?
I hope so. I'd like to think so. I think a lot of times people will say God told me blank,
mm-hmm.
as a means of just saying what they want to do anyway. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then a lot of times people will be stiff-necked, as the Old Testament says, or hard-headed about what is clearly what God wants to do. So there is this like middle approach, which is humility.
Mm.
Like, man, I really think God is calling me to blank. And my pastor mm-hmm. always says, you think that's what God is calling you? Seek wise counsel, seek the word, and pray about it. Look for the confirmations that you need. So it's like, I always thought that music was the gift. In the moments of being in doubt, I always found the confirmation with circumstances. Like something would happen, I would win this award from the Kennedy Center, or like just something would be there to just give me that little extra nudge of the courage. I try to be really careful when I say God told me to. You know what I mean? I always try to. I'm feeling like God is telling me to. I could be wrong. And you always have to leave room for the idea that maybe your own desires play a role in what you think God is telling you. So you always have to allow God to correct what you think is his voice sometimes.
Yeah, so you're putting him first, basically.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's powerful. Well, in another interview that you gave, you shared a quote about grief carving a canyon. Do you remember that quote?
It's my favorite quote.
Yeah. Oh, man. It actually brought tears to my eyes. So can you please share that now?
Yes. Camus. Albert Camus, who is an Algerian philosopher post world, you know, like World War II a little before, but like he got really well known, gave a lot of lectures after World War II. And he wrote a few books. I think The Stranger is one of them, The Alchemist. The Alchemist was somebody else, but he has a quote, and it says, "Grief carves a canyon so that joy may overflow it." And that, when I read it, I identified with it so much. And if you let that marinate in your mind, you'll see how wonderfully true it is that grief will carve a canyon. And the deeper the canyon, that the more joy has to come in to fill it. It always does. So,
wow.
So my friends who are going through a lot, listen, if you think you're going through a lot, just know that there's a lot plus a little more joy that's going to come in.
That's beautiful.
So as deep as you think your grief is, you know, inversely,
mm-hmm.
the joy will be even greater that's going to come in and heal that. So it's realism. It's not to say that things don't hurt. Well, God, you know, God never told us it would ever hurt, but he does say that, like, he is sustenance, you know. So I think sometimes we confuse what being a Christian is. Like, okay, cool, I'm a Christian now, so everything's great. Went quite the opposite. Okay, you're a Christian now. You really know how broken the world is, and you now can compare it to how amazing and holy God is. And you'll see that there's a huge gap there. And unfortunately, living on earth, we are right there in the middle of the gap.
Yeah. So when has that been true for you? I suspect that resonated with you so deeply because you went through your own period of grief.
You know, it's funny. Everybody would think it's like, oh, blessing lost his vision. That's really sad. It wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
But man, working through music, working through being an artist, the pain, like, I, you know, there is like, I tell people around 2018 or so, like, I literally was almost homeless multiple times.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Wow.
So there are times when I was just like, what is happening? And it's all because I've done one non-music job in my entire life. And I answered phones at an insurance firm.
That's rough.
It was horrible. And I was like, I'm not built for this. During all the time when I was like doubting things, I could have gone to law school at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people would have looked at me and said, man, you're being really stubborn. Like, the world is kicking your butt. Why don't you just take the path of least resistance, right? But I've always known that that wasn't right. So what would have looked foolish to anybody looking at what I was hoping at the time wasn't me being hard-headed.
Mm-hmm.
Me only in my heart of hearts what I meant to do, and that's sing and write songs and talk to people. So look foolish, but that was God.
Yeah, because you had such a close relationship with him. I mean, you had cultivated that, and so you were willing to lose everything else except for what he had told you. So I love that. So I think that's awesome. So now, I mean, I assume that during that time, did your intimacy with Christ increase?
I hope so. I, you know, I've always had pastors in all different seasons just like come alongside me.
Wow.
And at this time, my pastor in Nashville, who I still study with today, he just like, he was there meeting for coffee once a week. It's very encouraging. Still is. We still meet for coffee once a week. And so, yeah, there was definitely a voice tangibly that was like, Lessing, you're not crazy.
Uh-huh.
You know, you have this gift. And yeah, you know, I know it's hard now, and maybe there's not come a time when you should consider another plan.
Just
watch, stick it out a little while.
That's powerful. Wow.
Yeah. Wonderfully so.
Yeah. Kind of like your own Barnabas, you know, like in scripture. Yeah. Yeah. Well, speaking of challenging seasons, my husband and I have been obsessively listening to your song, Believe. I would love for you, I cannot listen to that without like tearing up. It is just a really, really raw, honest, powerful song that I think is a really important song. And so I would love if you would tell us a little, for somebody who hasn't heard the song, tell us a little bit about it.
So Believe is a song that, I mean,
Brighter Days is a very bumper sticker song in all the best way. I know there's going to be better days.
And there will, but
exactly. Believe is the
antithesis of which I felt like was necessary. I think sometimes we as a world, a culture, a people, even a Christian people, listeners of Christian music, we are very enthralled with the victory, right? Like, and there's nothing wrong with that, nothing true about that. But in real life, we all know that the victory is not always immediate or promised. In this world, there sometimes your victory is not, your reward is not your head.
Like, yeah.
People who
suffer all through life, you know, and their life is just suffering. And that's not to say God isn't there.
Right.
God doesn't love them. You know, I always marvel at the fact that 11 of the 12 disciples died
horrible death.
Yeah.
Like, just painful ways to go, because, like, the New Testament, Jesus says, you know, listen, if I'm the Son of God, it did this to be worthy. You know, but also pick up the cross and follow me.
Right.
Enjoy me at this suffering. Suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? So there's not a promise of good times, but there is a promise of sustenance, and that God will not leave you. And so believe, for me, was just my way of needing to express to anybody that has heard Brighter Days that I am thoroughly versed in the other side of that kind of very positive message, and that it's okay if that's where they are. And it's, I always say to people, like, I know it's a penny and the deep song, it starts with sarcasm, and the pre-chorus is the, you know, but what if you know something I don't? What if you will something I won't?
Right.
If you don't give me what I want, but you give me what I need, is that enough to believe?
Yeah.
So it's this very self-interrogating song. And it's not the most easily digested, but I thought it was necessary. So we put it out because, just like you said, it needs to be out. It's one you have to listen to.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and to wrestle with.
Right.
I think that's what I love about this song, is you are giving permission to people to wrestle. And I think just in the wrestling, there's this sense of, I mean, that's how we experience God a lot of times.
Yeah. Wrestling is the victory
in a lot of ways. Not giving up, right?
You haven't quit. Like Jacob and God wrestling, right? Jacob's like, I'm not letting you go till you bless me.
Even
before God blessed him, Jacob was already next to God.
Yes.
You can't wrestle with somebody you're not right up against. And so the wrestling is actually the point. Like, you know, being near God, that's how you wrestle.
Mm-hmm.
So much as it is painful or not fun, like, you're never going to win the wrestling match except to win, but that God will bless you. And it's not that God will bless you right now, but that it will happen.
And like you said, just knowing he's there in that's a blessing in and of itself. You talked about how, you know, just your challenging journey, and I imagine kind of humbling and discouraging and all of that to where you're at now, just in the music industry. Through that, you know, it's interesting. I often think that I've heard God will have to often breaks a dream before he gives it back. And I think it's because he wants, I mean, you're touching people's hearts. That's like a high calling, right? So how has all of your experiences, like those places where you were in need of encouragement and support and where you were wrestling with God, how has that deepened your compassion for others?
You know, I think it's allowed me a lot of humility and a lot of empathy, because no matter where I am on my journey, no matter how good this gets, I will never forget where I was, how dark it was. That's part of the journey. Like, we are in a fun season for sure, but there is no part of me that could ever lose humility, because I have the marks of the seasons that weren't this fun. You know, so I think, honestly, I always say to my friends, like, I'm so glad none of this happened when I thought it should. You could not have the equipment spiritually, emotionally, to not let it get to my head. But after the, you know, the desert times, God, like, sat me down
and shaped me enough to have all of this happen and not have it go to my head. He said, okay, stay ready. Appreciate that.
And I'm sure just that the depth of intimacy with him and just from wrestling with him and leaning on him for so long. So in one of your interviews, I really like the phrasing you used. You talked about life's plot twists and how when we look at them through kind of like a hindsight lens, they can become our future plot twists, can become scary adventures. Can you explain what you meant by that?
All of life is meant as an adventure, right? Like C.S. Lewis, right? Ships are safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are, you know? A life where nothing is ever bad is not a life. So if life is a story, there are going to be natural villains and cliffhangers and, you know, plot twists. Whoa, who would have saw that coming, right? So if we can look at life as this story God is writing, the best storyteller in the world is writing a story of your life, of course there are going to be downs and ups and sideways and but like, you know the author, so you're all right.
Yeah. Awesome. Is there a passage in scripture that when you're going, or maybe even when you are going through kind of your uphill journey or that you cling to now, is there a passage or a verse you just hold tight to?
I always tell people about the Hebrews passage, the I've been by faith.
Okay.
I think it's like Hebrews 1. Was it 11?
I think it's 11. Uh-huh.
The and by faith, right?
Mm-hmm.
And by faith, Abraham, and by faith, Moses, and by, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just to say that all of our stories, all of our lives, all of our testimonies, all of our gospels, as it were, all end by faith stories. Like, end by faith, blessings, parents let them go. End by faith, blessing kept that music through when it was crossed in a line.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
End by faith, so-and-so did this. And, like, we should get to tell ourselves our own end by faith stories, and we should get to, like, listen to other people's, because that's all just encouragement for somebody. So there's this whole end by faith thing that I think we're meant to live in with each other. And so I love reading that stuff because it helps me to remember that the point is the story.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you brought up, so I'm a mama, I have an adult child. And when you brought up just now, when you talked about your mom letting you come to America, I wonder if she just like bawled when first album came out in a joyful way. Like,
yes, yes.
It felt kind of like a confirmation that, okay, you did the right thing.
In fact, I know she did because she told me.
Awesome. That's beautiful. Yeah.
She's loving it.
Yeah. So God was writing her faith story at the same time that he was writing your faith story.
Exactly.
So what is one thing that you have learned about yourself through it all?
I don't know if you or your listeners are familiar with the Enneagram, but I'm a 7, and I am an Enneagram 7 in all the ways. So I love joy. I love everything positive. I love new experiences. I love like being on the go. Tool rig is amazing. Like I'm built for everything I'm doing.
Awesome.
And so that's a good thing. And I've also learned that there is a time to sit in grief. And that is a very hard thing for me to do. And thus, like, I think it's not an accident that I've had a lot of grief to sit in, because I think God has the balance. You know, my grief was, of course, there's all the joy, but you don't sit in grief, the joy is surface, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's happy, right? Happiness, if they mess up your cup of coffee, your happiness is gone. But if you can sit in grief, then you will experience joy on the other side, because grief, sitting in grief allows you to kind of see life for all the full circle that it is.
Mm-hmm. So what does that look like for you? What do you mean when you say sitting in grief?
For me, it looked like when the music thing was getting really hard, it looked like waking up in the morning and going, okay, here I am at my piano, no one cares. Here I am needing to pay this bill and no one cares.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm here because of decisions I made.
Mm-hmm.
There are ways out, but I don't want to take them. Here are the possible consequences of, you know, continuing to do this. No one cares. And do I still believe that God is in it? You know what I mean? So it just means taking stock, taking full and thorough and honest accounting of where you are at a given time and how you got there, and figuring out if that's where you want to be and you're doing the right thing.
And it's not always a happy taking stock, because while I did that, it didn't immediately change my circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
But it did make me go, okay, things aren't good, but I know I'm doing the right thing. And that in and of itself is a kind of peace.
Well, and I would say for me, like, I think I would define joy as not necessarily being like this emotional high, but just this deep underpinning awareness that God is with us and working through our situation. So, and I hear that in your story. So what's next for you?
Touring. The record comes out January
3rd. Awesome. Awesome.
More interviews with amazing people like yourself.
Awesome. Awesome. So where can listeners go to find you?
iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, everywhere.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, and so my favorite songs from him are Blessings and Believe, but he's got great content out there. So you can do like me and you can just stalk him online and find him on YouTube and listen to all his interviews, because in some of his interviews, he shares things obviously that he hasn't shared here. And so I think you'll get a robust picture of his heart and what God is calling him to do. Well, I thank you so much for sharing your time with us. It was such a blessing.
Jennifer, thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too. To our listeners, thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode made you think and maybe introduced you to a talented musician that you hadn't heard of before, who can really, I think, can help you in those times where you struggle just to connect with God. If you haven't already done so, I would encourage you to subscribe to this podcast. Then you won't miss a single episode, and make sure to rate it. That helps others to find it, and it also encourages our team as well. Until next time, may you live as one who truly has been set free.
Faith Over Fear is a production of Life Audio and Salem Media. If you liked what you heard today, please take a second to rate and review this podcast in your favorite podcast app so that more listeners like you can find the show. For more faith-filled, inspirational podcasts, visit us at lifeaudio.com.
It's a crazy world out there, moms and dads. I'm Catherine Seegers, host of Christian Parent Crazy World, the podcast that tackles tough topics to help you be a godly parent in an ungodly world. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.